Welcome to Faction Fandom, a new podcast covering the Divergent book series by Veronica Roth. I'm your host, Stephanie.
And I'm your host, Cherie.
Right, so Cherie and I started this podcast today.
Yeah, it's been a while getting it up and running.
By a while, I mean like 2 months, maybe.
All summer.
But it's time, right before school starts. It's very exciting to us.
School starts Monday.
Today is Saturday. It's 2 days. And right in time for the movie trailer.
The movie trailer comes out tomorrow night on the VMA Awards.
It does, on MTV. So watch them, or record them and just fast forward to the movie trailer like you know you're going to do anyway.
That's what I did when the Hunger Games. Yeah, when the Hunger Games.
Did the same thing. Just fast forward through the whole thing.
Just to watch the trailer. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you don't understand. This is important.
But it was great. Back to Divergent. This is a great podcast that we're starting, and we encourage you to check out the website as well. Cherie, do you want to explain what Faction Fandom stands for?
Well, of course, everybody knows if you read Divergent, there's 5 factions, and there's Amity and Candor, Erudite, Dauntless, Abnegation, and our faction is Fandom!
Because we love fandoms, exactly. Yeah. We're fangirls. We are fangirls.
I'm a fangirl. I fangirl hardcore sometimes.
I know.
I embarrass myself.
I embarrass myself way too much as well. But you can't change who you are, right?
So I wouldn't want to.
Good. I'm proud of you for that. Right, so today we're going to talk about a couple of things. We actually have a lot of different segments planned for future, but since it is a pilot episode, we want to keep it down to the minimal, so that we don't screw it up as much more than we are going to today. But we're going to go over the news a little bit, covering, like I said, the movie trailer and the new books. And then we're going to do a segment called Chapter by Chapter. This is going to be something we do every podcast where we're going to reread the books.
Right.
Because we read them once and we loved them. We want to reread them again and sort of analyze and nitpick all the different things that we did like about them, we didn't like about them, questions we had, questions you have as a listener. So that's what we're doing chapter by chapter. And then,
And this one I'm nervous for.
The next one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have it written down. I made Cherie a quiz to see how well she remembers the book.
I read the books like a year ago, and she told me earlier this week that I needed to read the first 3 chapters for the podcast. And of course, I didn't read the 3 chapters until about 10 minutes ago, because we were having problems recording it, so I just, like, I'm going to go in the back and I'm going to read the chapters. We're going to see if I remember the stuff that I read a year ago.
It's even more interesting because, you know, I have them on audiobook. I listen to them on audiobook all the time. And so you've read them, how many times? Once, right?
Right, yeah. I read both of the books. Of course, you know, like, when you get in that reading frenzy, I read them really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I mean, who knows if I retained any of that information.
But it's good information, so I'm sure you did. And,
I am a fangirl. I have that ability.
Right.
To retain pointless, awesome information.
You'll never need in life or college or any other job application.
I work in a welding supply store. I don't need that information.
But you need it for the podcast, which is why we're starting it today.
Okay, so after the quiz?
Yes, okay, so we have the quiz for you, and then I have a sort of Ronka Roth's opinion on Divergent the series, and I actually have a playlist that she has written down, and so I'm going to play a little bit of one of the songs that she has on our playlist, and then to close us out, we have
book recommendations, which we are going. Since we read kind of a lot. We read mini books.
Kind of.
Just a little bit. I mean, reading's so boring. Like, who does that?
I don't know.
God, reading. Jeez.
I don't know how they're going to do that. Right, so then we have book recommendations.
And that'll close the show, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But before we start all of that, we want to introduce ourselves. So, yeah, Cherie, introduce yourself. Tell us how you got started, your faction, and maybe a few of your other fandoms that you are in love with.
Okay, well, my faction would be Faction Fandom, but if you want the book factions, I was Amity until I read that little book you have in the back, and I was thinking maybe I'm not Amity. I'm definitely not Dauntless, and I'm not Selfless either. I could not be Abnegation.
Okay.
And Candor, they're kind of blunt. I'm blunt. But yeah. I don't know. Ugh, maybe I'd still be Amity. I mean, I just want to sit in the back of a truck and play the ukulele. Does that not sound like something I would do?
Yes, it does.
Didn't somebody do that in the second book?
I think so.
Yeah, I wanted to be that person. Okay, yeah. I'm Amity, definitely.
Okay. So, more specific, maybe if you took the aptitude test, what would the test say your faction was? And then, at your choosing ceremony, which one would you choose?
Okay, well, the test that Triss had to go through, I probably would pick the cheese. I'm not even kidding, I love cheese! And she says in the book that if you pick the cheese or the knife, then you go in to see if you're in Amity, doesn't she? Or does she say abnegation?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I don't know. Maybe because I picked that cheese, I would go straight into Amity. Or abnegation. And I don't belong in abnegation. I'd probably still choose Amity. Yeah. I mean, Dauntless looks really fun, but I'm not super fearless. I'm afraid of heights. So.
I'm not active either. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a sit back and enjoy an episode of Doctor Who kind of girl. Less like a, let's go jump from the top of this building or climb this Ferris wheel. Like, who does that?
So, speaking of Doctor Who, so now that we know what your factions are,
I'm a Whovian.
What about your other fandoms?
Okay. I'm a Whovian.
Okay.
I love Supernatural, Batman, Harry Potter, and Sherlock. Those are like the Tumblr big five. Like,
Shuri has other fandoms that she loves, but if you're going to classify, put her in a spot in the classification.
And a Star Kid, okay. I can't, like, just take that out.
So, we didn't even do the how you got started in it, did we?
I started reading Divergent last year. No one had recommended it to me. My friends had read it, and they hadn't talked to me about it yet. So I just saw it in the bookstore, and I read the back, and then I read the little inside cover, and it just looked good, and I just read it, and it was amazing. It was really good. I love it, by the way. I don't know if you know that, but I have a passion for this book.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, you'd never know from me doing the podcast on it.
Judy's talking about other things. That's okay. We'll get into that later, chapter by chapter. Your passion will shine through that.
So, Stephanie,
yeah.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, well, you just said I'm Stephanie. But I also, I think you actually, now here's the thing. I saw Divergent. I think because I buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, it'll go through that, you know, since you bought yada yada yada, we recommend this and that. And I saw Divergent up there, so I already knew it was a book, and the cover looks really cool. But then you texted me one day saying, you've got to read this book, and I said, oh, well, it's on my to-read list. I actually saw it already. And I remember thinking, oh, I want to get it. And I never made it happen until I had a free credit with audible.com. Not that I'm plugging that. I'm just saying that one day I saw that I had a free credit and I really wanted to get Divergent, but I was opposed to getting it on audio because I didn't want to take away from the reading experience, but I really wanted to read it. So I got it anyway. And I am glad I did because I didn't stop listening to it after that. It was really great. I think I went through it in one day and then I just went out and bought Insurgent. I didn't wait for the next free credit. I just went out and bought it right after.
Definitely, yeah.
Because you kind of have to when you're stuck like that. And, okay, so yeah, my factions, I don't know, I'd probably be Divergent myself because I can't choose between just one of them. I'm definitely with you. I'm an Amity kind of girl. I'm definitely non-confrontational. I don't like people arguing or being upset. I would rather take the blame on myself and just say I'm sorry 8 times a day.
So you, like, can't be in candor. Exactly. Like, crying in a corner.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If I were to choose a faction, I think I would choose candor. Because I think a lot of the problems people have in society, just in the world, is that they're deceitful. I mean, people don't just lie to other people, but they lie to themselves.
Oh, when I said Amity,
they're not being true to themselves.
When I said Amity, I meant Ariadne. Because they're the people who argue.
They're intelligent.
Right, but they, like, sit and debate things. That's Ariadne, right?
Candor, sit and debate things.
Okay, so I was right the first time.
Yeah.
I'm just questioning myself now. I don't know. If I was to be Divergent, I think my second one would probably be Ariadne.
Which is exactly what Triss is, isn't it?
Well, she's three. She's Amity, Ariadne, Dauntless.
Yeah. Abnegation's cool, but I'm too selfish to be Abnegation. I definitely would think of other people, but
I don't know anybody who would, like, truly be selfless all the time.
Monks? Nuns!
Okay.
No diss to the nuns, but, but if you are a nun, congratulations. You have got the abnegation faction down. Right, so what else is there?
What fandoms are you in?
Oh, I love, I'm also a Whovian. I'm not up to date on the current season, but Netflix is helping me with that. I am definitely going through them. Yes, and then I also really love Law Brothers. I love John Green books. I love Hank Green's work with the VFTVA and the company. And I love the stuff they stand for. So I'm also a nerd fighter with you there. But books-wise, I love Cinder. I love Divergent. Hunger Games, I guess, is kind of a given, maybe?
Yeah.
I do like Harry Potter a lot.
You haven't finished reading them.
I just haven't finished reading them, no.
She is the only person I know who reads and who hasn't read the Harry Potter.
I'm getting through there, though. If you look on my list of books to finish, you will see Chamber of Secrets.
Oh,
I'm not even on the third one. I'm on the second one. Oh my gosh, you're on the second one. I'm sorry.
I'm, like, offended.
I'm getting there, though. Maybe I'll give you a plug. Every couple of podcasts and let you know how I'm doing on that.
Yes, please.
We'll have
a party when you finish 7.
People to hold me accountable for that. Oh, I really like, it's not really a fandom. Can it be a fandom if there aren't any fans?
Sure. What is it?
Right, so this book series called Furies of Alera. No, Codex of Alera. It's a really old book series, and it's by some guy that I can't think of at the moment. I'll look it up later. But yeah, there's like 6 books. Kind of like Lord of the Rings, only if everybody in Lord of the Rings had powers.
Interesting. Is it written like Lord of the Rings is written?
Sort of. It's like a romantic, not romantic, but like Roman time period, sort of era with like fighting and soldiers and castles and kingdoms and studholtz. I don't even know how to explain it. It's really cool. But I really love them, and I'm really passionate about them. So those are my fandoms. I may find out some more later. Anyway, right, so let's move on to news. Oh my gosh, we've spent so much time. We're not going to talk about all of the news. I mean, we could spend hours and hours talking about what's going to happen later in the other books and about the movie and the casting and the directing and everything like that. But just to give you a little bit of a preview, it is Saturday. Tomorrow is Sunday.
The trailer comes out. Now, there's a teaser out online already. The teaser for the preview for the trailer. Like, how?
Okay, now here's the thing. There's a teaser out right now. There's going to be a pre-VMA Awards show, like, at 7, if you're in Central Time like us. I think so. Okay, yeah. So there's going to be another teaser in the pre-show, and then there's going to be the actual trailer during the show. So these people, I don't know what they're doing, but
they're getting their
maybe fans. they're just too excited.
Vamped up.
Or maybe somebody who's a fan decided to leak everything. I don't know.
Okay, so the trailer comes out tomorrow night, and the movie comes out March 20th in 2014, next year.
Of course, we're all really excited about October.
Yes, October 22nd, because Allegiant comes out.
Yay!
Which we have the name for it now. That was like a super long wait.
That was a long wait.
I mean, for the name.
I mean, the amount of time between the release of the title and the release of the book cover was like, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was super fast.
But it took us like 6 months to find out the name of the book.
Even though I really enjoyed seeing like Detergent and all the fan-made posters and stuff.
I really wanted to call the podcast Detergent for a long time. I couldn't figure out a name for it.
Okay, and in September 3rd.
Right, in a couple of weeks, you know, the couple of the Veronica Roth is putting out 4 of those short stories, mm-hmm. all in 4/ Tobias's perspective.
Which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And she already released 1 of them, but that doesn't count. There's going to be 4 more. And the first one that's coming out on September 3rd is called The Transfer. So that'll be super exciting. I think there's already a little couple page preview for that out on iBooks right now. I don't know about Amazon. I'm sure there is, but you know. So that's cool. You can go check that out, or you can just take a couple weeks and buy it for...
And we'll be talking about it too.
We will, when it comes out.
I'll have to get it. Is it free? Do you have to buy it? Do you know?
I think you have to buy it because, yeah, I think you can pre-order it for $1.99. It's not very long. It is a short story.
Yeah.
It's only maybe a couple pages. Maybe like 2 or 3 chapters long. Who knows? Okay, so that's the news. Do you have anything else to add, Sherry, to the news?
No.
All right.
Chapter by chapter.
Chapter by chapter. Is our next segment, where we're going to just talk about the book as we reread it. Now, we read through the first three chapters.
Yes.
Or at least some of us read through the first three chapters.
Probably about 30 minutes ago by now.
Okay.
It's, like, fresh on my mind.
Oh, good. So you'll be able to get on with that. So, right. So here's just a little brief of what goes on in the first three chapters of this book here, in case you haven't read it. So the book starts out with Beatrice getting her hair cut, her mom's cutting it, and Triss makes reference to how surprised she is when her mom doesn't scold her for looking in the mirror.
I would never be able to not look in a mirror for 3 months.
That's exactly why I can't be a Phoenician.
Selflessness is, like, not in my blood. I'm like, yes, how does my hair look today? Frizzy? Oh, well. But I have to see it.
Yes. So she looks in the mirror and her mom doesn't even say anything, and she was surprised by that.
Because vanity's considered, like, indulgent and stuff, and that's how we know that she's in abnegation.
So, that's Triss's problem. She has a really hard time forgetting herself.
Yeah.
Or being selfless.
I just feel like it's all in her head. Like, I feel like if she tried a little, she's just, like, so scared. She's like, oh no, I'm indulgent in everything I do. And I guess she is. It's just,
she probably is very selfless. So that's her problem. She feels too selfish for her faction, and she feels sort of lost, like, even in her own family. So today is a big deal for her and her brother Caleb, because they're going to take their aptitude tests. Not abdication. They're going to take their aptitude tests, which will tell them which faction they are best suited for.
And then they get to choose, regardless of what.
Right. So they take their test today, and then tomorrow in the book, they will choose their faction. So this test doesn't choose it for them. It just kind of gives them an idea. It's like an aptitude test for college, right? Like, you can take an aptitude test at college, and you know, it tells you what you're good at and what you're not good at. I think that's kind of the definition of aptitude. But then you don't necessarily have to choose that. You can choose to be something completely different than what your test tells you, because you have a passion for whatever that is. I don't even know.
I think it says the tests don't have to change your choices.
Doesn't she say that to somebody?
Yeah, that's what she tells her mom.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it's something, like, it sounds like she's quoting it.
Because her mom says, yeah. Are you nervous? And she says, no.
The test doesn't change your choices. I feel like it's something, like, her mom's been teaching her. I don't feel like it was ever pointed out in the book, mm-hmm. but I just feel like that's something that she was taught.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know that if they do choose a different test, I mean, if they do choose a different faction, she can no longer see her family.
Yeah.
So, if you're talking to your family about your choice, obviously they're going to want to sway you to be with them because they love you.
Yeah, her mom can probably tell that she wasn't, like, very selfless all the time. Yes. I mean, she didn't scold her for looking in the mirror. She probably knew that she's not very abnegation.
It shows that she is not as selfless as possible. Even when they get on the train later, to go to...
Caleb gives up his seat, and she doesn't even think about it.
Right. And it was kind of obvious, and I think Caleb probably gets on her case at some point in time later in the book about that,
he's like,
too.
Just do what you have to do, because we all know Caleb doesn't...
Spoiler, none of them choose abnegation, either one of them. Or else the book would be very boring. No offense, guys.
It's just like them doing chores for everybody else for, like, 2 books.
Can you imagine if she was an abnegation?
She's like, I'm going to go outside and help these people today, and then, like, get to just, like, read about her helping other people.
Like, being walked
book changed me.
Being walked all over. I know. This book inspired the world to just do charity all over the place.
Wouldn't read it. No offense.
Wouldn't read this book like that. Anyway, but I kind of like that part when they're on the train. I like her transition from her house to school, because she talks about the Candorman, and she talks about the kids that she sees at school, and when she talks about them and she sees how they are, this is where she talks about all the different factions there are.
Like, right now, like, the first time I was reading it, I didn't even know what factions were yet. I'm just like, what's a faction? What's going on?
And, you know, she doesn't sit there and say, that's what these factions are. Yeah. She says, candor value honesty, while abnegation value selflessness. It's like, well, what's a candor? What the heck is that? But obviously...
Like, back then, I was still saying candor.
I know, because it's spelled C-O-N-D-O-R.
Candor.
But no,
it sounds like hick or something. Candor. I'm in the candor candor faction.
Dear. Yeah, we had to look that up before we even started the podcast. We looked up the
just pronunciations. Just to make sure. I mean, erudite? I was like, erudite.
So we get introduced to all the different factions that there are. There is Abnegation and Candor, which we talked about. Erudite. Value intelligence. Amity, value peace. And, of course, the Dauntless, value bravery.
Which is, like, why she wrote the book. She wanted to write about the Dauntless. She wanted to write about a world where they faced their fears and they took fear out of their decisions and stuff. So she's, like, writing about the Dauntless, and that's how the story became.
Roth.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the queen. Well, okay, so J.K. Rowling is the queen, but, like, Veronica Roth would be our princess or something.
She's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's not much older than us.
That's weird.
That one is weird.
I'm like a kid.
I want to be your friend. Anyway,
We also get to see the rift that's in between the erudite and the... when she gets pushed down in the hallway.
Right, the erudite push her down. Now, I'm sure a lot of the factions kind of overlook abnegation because there's such a, you know, don't look at me mindset. Yeah. But they really don't like him.
Oh, no. They're legitimately, like, he just...
they're sassy.
They're sassy little people. Yeah, maybe I would be an erudite.
Maybe.
He's sassy.
Oh, snap. Anyway, but Triss is actually really fascinated by the Dauntless herself, yeah. And she watches them. She's a little creeper.
Spoiler alert, it's because she's divergent.
We'll get there in a second, yes. The book is called Divergent, I just realized. That probably shouldn't have been a big spoiler.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic.
Sorry. Terrible at sarcasm. I really am. Okay.
Second language. I just, like, fluently speak sarcasm.
When was it in your blood?
All the time.
So where are we?
Right here.
Chapter by chapter.
It's like, oh, we're at the abnegation test.
Okay, so she goes to take the aptitude test.
Oh,
you
my gosh.
Do it too!
I did it! Oh, no!
It's not just me.
Did you write it down in there as abnegation test?
I did!
That's why I said it. I'm gonna fix that aptitude test.
My bad. That's why.
Okay, I've got it written down, the aptitude test.
I don't know why I keep calling it that.
Okay, so Triss
takes the aptitude test.
Triss and Susan take the aptitude test, but we don't get to see Susan take the aptitude test. We only get Triss's point of view.
That's because Susan's not that important.
Who is Susan? I don't even remember her.
Her neighbor.
Right, okay.
Susan's her neighbor. She comes back later in another book, but she's not that important. But she's a nice person. Anyway, so she's taking her test, and she gets a little stubborn with it. Of course, the test is all about choosing. Making choices.
Are you talking about the first one? Like, when she won't choose the knife or the cheese?
Right. You know, she's in a room, and there's a knife on the table, and there's cheese on the table, and there's this voice saying, choose! And
it was my understanding that none of the factions, except for one of them, was going to choose. And, like, no, none of them would choose.
None of the factions would choose?
Right. And only one of the factions would choose.
Which one would choose?
I don't remember. I feel like it was Abnegation. No, Amity. Because they don't like conflict.
But the Dauntless would have chosen the gun.
Knife.
That's it. Yeah, so it's a knife. The Dauntless would have chosen the knife.
I don't feel like that's what it said.
I know. What would Candor have chosen? The knife, probably. Maybe.
No. They're not supposed to choose anything.
So this is how Triss's test goes. She's in the room, and she has the knife or the cheese, and she chooses nothing. And the speaker is like, fine, have it your way. So when the dog comes, she can't give the dog anything. She can't give the dog... she can't shoot the dog, or she can't give the dog the cheese. So what does she do? She pulls out her erudite magic skills and then tames the dog by showing him respect. And then that moves her over into the little girl coming in the room. And when the little girl comes into the room, she protects the little girl by throwing herself on the dog. So she's abnegation in that sense. And then I don't know why it shifts, but it shifts onto the bus scene with the man. And he's like, do you know this guy? He's a real creeper. He's a murderer. Do you know him? And she's like, no.
And she lied.
Yeah, and she lied, so obviously she's not Candor.
Okay, this is what it says. It says that if you would have shown a distaste for the knife and selected the cheese, it would have led you to a different scenario that confirmed your aptitude for Amity. That didn't happen. That's why Amity is out.
Oh, so if she had... okay, so she did not choose, so Amity and Dauntless were both considered out. So at that point, she was
not
still...
Dauntless wasn't considered out.
Because she didn't choose the gun.
Knife.
Yes, she didn't choose the knife. So that's her test. Her test coordinator, Tori, tells her, this is your test. And it's very peculiar because you didn't choose the way the tests are designed. You know, and the tests are supposed to tell you what faction you're suited for. But the truth is that Triss wasn't have just one faction, but she has three, obviously, the Erudite, Dauntless, and Abnegation. And so because she has all of this, she tells her this makes Triss divergent.
And then she all gets, like, super creepy up on her and creeps up real close and is like, don't tell anybody! You can't tell anybody! And Triss is all like, yeah, okay, I won't. Like, no big deal.
You're not supposed to tell anybody.
I know, it's just...
But then she's like, no, but for reals, don't tell anything your family.
She, like, comes up to her and she's like, no, but for reals.
That's her exact wording. Verbatim. Yeah. But, so, she's a little, yeah, she's creeped out by that. And she sends her home early because she doesn't want her talking to anybody. Because she doesn't want them to know about her test results. So she's going home early. This is, like, in chapter 3 by now. But she's on her way home, and so she's walking. She's not taking the bus. And she runs into a factionless man. And then we get, obviously, we're introduced to the factionless.
Which is like the lowlifes, and they're considered
I kind of think of them as homeless.
But they have, like, jobs and stuff, but yeah, they're pretty much homeless.
Do they have jobs?
Yeah, they get, like, the janitorial jobs and stuff.
They get the, like, minimum wage jobs kind of thing.
Yeah, and it says that they have just enough for food and clothes, but it's, like, not enough, you know? It's, mm-hmm. like...
Yeah, it's, like, enough to live on, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. So, yeah, they're these lower class. And she says it's not even that they don't have resources. It's that they're living divorced from society. Like, they literally don't have a home to claim. They're factionless. And so she thinks of them as a very, like the plague. I think later in the book, doesn't she say she'd rather be dead than factionless?
I think so.
So... Triss thinks that that's horrible. It's just the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, and he, like, grabs her wrist and...
He's
like,
a creeper, too.
...tells her to choose wisely, and it's, like, super dun-dun-dun.
I know.
And you're like, what's going on? And then we, like, stop reading at chapter 3. Yeah, so you have to wait.
We do wait.
Next chapter is the choosing ceremony, where she gets to choose. And we're not even going to tell you which one she chooses.
You already said which one. Later. Right, so the next chapters we'll read 4 through 6.
I feel like we should do more.
You want to do more than that?
I feel like we shouldn't tell them how many chapters we're going to read and we should just surprise them next time.
Well, what if they want to? Okay, fine. Read 4 through 6.
What about 4 through 9? Let's just settle
4 through 9. It is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, 4 through 9 then.
All right.
That means we're going to stop right before chapter 10, right?
Right. It means don't read chapter 10. Read chapter 9.
Okay, so no chapter 10. And we will pick up a chapter by chapter next time.
Wait, okay, so do you have any questions about the first 3 chapters? Anything you didn't understand?
I don't think I had any questions about that.
I mean, the first 3 chapters are pretty, like, nothing's, like, secretive yet. It hasn't introduced the plot.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't. It's just, like, you're introducing...
Very introductory.
...to the world that our princess created.
I will say... The biggest question I had when I was reading it the first time was, how does Tori know about this?
Like, I think she has to know. I mean, if you're... Oh, see, how does she know?
Because if these divergent people were such a hush-hush, you know, faction or type of people, why wouldn't she turn her in? Why wouldn't she report about it?
Maybe she's good. Maybe
she is trying to protect her.
Maybe she knows her...
Maybe Tori knows Triss's mom? I don't know what you're talking about at all.
It's like a spoiler for book 2. I can't, like, say anything. For the end of book 2. I can't say
anything. Mm. Oh!
I'm gonna have to cut this out.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. No, we won't say anything. Yeah, well, if you want to know, you can just read through the first and second books, people. Just do it.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
I mean, why are you listening to this podcast if you haven't read through the books?
They've probably all read the books.
Okay, I hope so. Well, that's not true. Some people don't.
Really?
I've listened to Mobile Class, and did I read Harry Potter?
Hey, if you haven't read the book, send us an email, because that's super cool. Send us an email.
You can read through the chapter by chapters with us, and we can talk about...
Do you think they're really going to read 3 chapters in a week of this book? I read...
Maybe it's a parent who just wants to read the book so they don't put kids into.
Anything that you picked up on the second time that you read the first 3 chapters that you didn't pick up the first time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I had one. And that's that... She even says, okay, if you've read the books, which you should have already because they're amazing, she even says, like, there's a wall out there, and she doesn't know what the wall does. And the first time I read the books, of course, like, I never noticed that or picked up on it, but this time, I was like, wow, she, like, introduced that in, like, the first...
couple of chapters.
First three chapters, which is when she's introducing the world that she created, which means that she already had this planned, like, all three books with all these three plot lines, like, when she was writing the first one.
So, yeah, there's...
It means, like, it's a driving plot line that, like, I didn't even pick up on until the mid-second book.
Right, it's the, like, series arc or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's introduced in the first... It's in the first chapter, so you really kind of already know what it's the, like, whole...
It's introduced with the faction.
...book/society is about.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I think not that that's really fully. Intense.
Mm-hmm. I liked how she didn't come right out and say, these are the factions, and this is what they are. Sort of left that to us to interpret, you know, by giving us little hints of what this, and that are. And then, like, later in the, you know, in the later chapters...
I feel like that has to play into more of her writing style. You know, she's not real.
Well, I like her writing style.
Yeah, I do too. I'm saying, like, it's more, like, it's funner...
Funner.
It's more fun to read...
Funner can be a word.
It's more fun to read like that than it is to read, like, a book of facts.
It's an informative book.
Yeah.
No, it's a storytelling book. Right. So, yeah, I really like that part. Because that was my biggest thing, was trying to figure out what all the factions were. And when I first read the book, before I continued with the rest of the chapters, I think I read it all on the factions, maybe 4 or 5 times, trying to figure out what was what. Because that was interesting. So, yeah, if you have any questions about the first 3 chapters, if you have any comments, you can always email us.
Do you have an email address to give them?
I do.
That would be important.
I do.
If we could, we're just telling them to keep emailing us, and they're like, what's the email?
Just search,
like, no, you can't have it.
Just search, search for Stephanie or Cherie in the world. No last names.
Never any last names.
No. Yeah, so we have an email, factionfandompodcast@gmail.com. It's great. Okay. Yeah, if you heard that, that was not somebody farting. Sure, that was my dog Elvis, and he's shaking. You know, right.
Noise. That was his little ears flapping.
You can probably hear him tipper-tappering through the room throughout the entire podcast,
that's
too.
Because
I think he was, like, mocking earlier, too.
He's a little cutie patootie.
Enough about my dog, though.
Quiz time.
Oh, yes, okay. So if we don't have any more, what's on to the quiz? Cherie, I'm excited about this.
I'm super nervous.
I don't think you should be. I think you will do fine. Here are quiz questions. There's not many of them.
We should have, like, really intense music playing.
Oh, like in the background.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that later.
Yeah. Or even, like, that fun song. Do, 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 do.
No, you should play it softly in the background.
But it's only for when I'm thinking.
Oh. I think it makes good elevator music. Okay, fine. So, question 1. Spoilers. These are quiz questions from the entire book.
Okay.
So, if you haven't read the book, I'm sorry. You can get over it.
That's so mean.
Well, just don't listen to this part. Maybe fast forward in a couple of minutes.
Maybe they should just stop listening to us and go and read the book.
And then come back right at this timestamp.
Yeah, like, remember where we are. Like, they're at... 45 minutes, exactly.
Exactly.
45 minutes, 10 seconds.
Exactly. Okay, so question 1. What faction always wears the color blue?
Blue? Factions have colors?
Oh my god.
Okay, no, wait. Okay, so obviously there's gray and black and yellow. Blue must be... Is it the smart... Is it Aryanite? Okay, good.
It is. It was me. That's correct.
I, like, forgot until you said it, and then I remembered. Oh my gosh.
I'm just trying not to smile so much now. Okay, yes. Erudite always wears blue. That's correct. Okay, so what is the Candor faction value?
Truth. Honesty.
Yes. My answer was honesty. That was correct. Good job, so you're 2 for 2. Okay, so In order to become Dauntless, what must you choose on the aptitude test? In the beginning of the aptitude test.
Is it the knife? Are you saying that you have to choose the knife?
Yes.
Okay.
Between the cheese or the knife.
Okay.
I could say cheese or knife. That kind of gives you just 50-50. But yeah, you're right, knife. Okay. How does Tori know about what a divergent person is.
I don't know. Didn't we just discuss this?
We discussed it being a theory maybe for later on, but there is a reason that she knows what divergent is.
Is it because she's the lead? Is it because she's the test giver? She has to know?
No.
Is it because she
not all test givers know what divergent is.
Oh, it's because she goes and asks somebody? I don't know, Stephanie. I have no idea.
Okay. Do you want to know?
Should
we say it? Okay.
Yeah.
The reason why is because her brother was divergent.
Oh, and was that said at some point in time?
They will say that later in the book, yes.
Okay.
What is Triss's last name?
Pryor. Beatrice Pryor.
Good job. That is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're good. You're good for 5 for 5.
4 for 5. I literally just
missed one. Yeah, you didn't know toys. Okay, yeah, right. 4 for 5. So, next question. Who is Triss's best friend when she goes to Dom's?
After she gets there?
When she arrives.
Okay.
When she...
The girl. I'm not going to forget her name. Her name is... The one that likes that guy. I ship her and, like, another guy.
You do?
Yeah. Her name.
You should speak louder.
I don't know her name right now.
Her name...
It's been...
Can you describe her?
She's awesome.
Okay. Do you know what faction she's from?
No! I don't remember anything! Oh my gosh!
Her name is Christina.
Christina! Okay, sure.
That is Tristan's best friend. Now, it doesn't say that her best friend is Christina, but besides four, obviously, her friendships in the Dauntless compound, her closest friendship is with her. Okay, and my last question for you. What is the Dauntless faction symbol? My gosh, sure, you're not looking at the book cover to do that.
It's, like, behind me.
You're not! Book.
Okay, the Dauntless.
Oh my gosh.
Is...
You've only been trying to read the book the past 30
Okay, minutes. Wait. I even designed the little thing, and I had to cut out all of the little faction symbols, and I remember the scale, and I remember the helping hands, and I remember the tree, and I remember the eye? Is it an eye?
There is an eye, yes.
But that's not them.
It's not them.
Oh my gosh. Is it?
You know, there's going to be hardcore Divergent fans listening to this.
Oh my gosh, they're going to hate you.
They're going
to hate
you.
They're not this dumb in real life, guys. Oh my gosh.
She's not. She's a smart one in between the two of us, believe it or not.
I'm a little lost. Okay, tell me what it is.
It's a flame.
And I knew that!
It's a flame on the front of the book cover.
Well, you know what? I don't know.
Do you want to go through all of them? Do you want to say what all of them are?
Amity has the tree, right?
Right.
Abnegation has the helping hands.
Right.
And there was an eye, which is erudite? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like the eye of knowledge, maybe.
That's not a thing.
Okay,
right. The eye of knowledge. The all-seeing eye? Is that what she meant? Maybe. I can see that.
I don't know.
Okay, and what's the other one I'm missing?
Candor.
Which? Black or white? Oh, it's the scales.
Right. Now, that always confused me. Because I get that a scale is factual, and you can't lie in a scale. So is that, I guess, what they're going for with that?
You know what? I'm going to have to, like, think about this. Because I don't know, I've never had to think about why it was a scale. It just made sense in my head. I'm like, okay, it's a scale, yeah, sure.
People, email us in. Tell us why the candor symbol is a scale, because we don't know. Tell us what the all-seeing eye is supposed to mean. If
the all-seeing eye.
And that's even the thing as well. I'm sure if we go through this book, some of y'all may actually already have it, but I got this book. I'm getting it. Hold on. Okay. I got this book with my box set when I bought it. It says, The World of Veronica Roth's Divergent Series. It's a little booklet, and it's pretty cool. It's got, like, quizzes, and it tells the faction manifestos. I think later I'm going to read through some of those, and we're going to check those out. And it's got a lot of stuff on on Veronica Roth's thoughts throughout the series and what she was thinking about when she made the faction names and things like that. So it's a pretty cool book. I liked it.
How did you come across this book?
Like I said, I bought a box set I went on Amazon, and when I bought my books, I wanted to get them, because I wanted to get them both in hardback. I didn't want to buy them separately, so I bought the box set, and when I bought the box set, I got this little book slid in between them.
Okay, so it's not something, like, we could go out and buy.
You might be able to. I'll see if you can buy it. I will, maybe on the website.
You'll put up a link?
Maybe, yeah, I'll put up a link on the
and
website.
And I'll put a link up on the Tumblr for no reason. Since there's no followers on the Tumblr yet, because it's the first day.
Right.
It'll be on there eventually.
Which Tumblr?
I don't have the URL picked out. I saved a couple, and I'll go through and I'll figure it out. Well, I'll announce it next time.
Okay. We'll do that next time. So, that was our quiz. Congratulations, Cherie. You got...
Three.
One, two, three, four. Out of nine correct.
You know what?
No, four out of eight correct.
2 weeks ago, before one of my best friends moved away for mm-hmm. college, we did a Harry Potter quiz for book one,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't get any right.
Oh
and
my gosh.
We had just finished watching the first one like 2 months before, because I'm always constantly rewatching that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had just reread the first one again. I read it earlier this year, and she had literally read the first one the week before. And it's just because, like, we're not good at trivia.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. Well, maybe next time you can do the trivia, if you want to.
Yeah, I'll make up a quiz for you.
Okay.
And then I'll make them real hard.
Gosh, okay. I'm nervous now.
Okay.
Because when you're not, you know, in front of a microphone, or on camera, or, you know, under pressure at all, you are the smarter one between the two of us. I mean, you really are.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I'm nervous somehow. on how hard you will make that.
I'm not going to correct you, and that's just because I really like that compliment. I'm going to take it. I'm not
going
to give it back to you.
That's okay. I gave it willingly.
It's okay, my abnegation side. She played this song a little bit earlier, and I've been really dying to hear the rest of it, because the beginning of it was really cool. So this song, Running Up the Hill by Placebo, Veronica Roth, our princess, queen, whatever we want to call her. Ruling leader.
Okay. If you want to call her that.
Best author ever. Just like with a period in between each word. Anyways.
She
said that this song set the tone for the whole book. It just like it matches the tone for the book. It's a super cool song. She's gonna press play.
So that was the song.
Running Up That Hill
mm-hmm.
by Placebo.
I could play all of it, but it's kind of long.
So I really like the tone of that song. Okay, so she thinks that that matches the tone of the book, right? And I believe it does. I think that if they were to capture that tone in the movie, it would be a really cool movie. It's got, like, not an indie feel, but, you know, like, super edgy,
eerie, kind of mysterious.
Yeah, mysterious.
The book is a lot of mystery. Reading Definitely. It first time through. Definitely. I mean, there's a lot of questions going up.
And excitement. But I don't really understand how that, like, captures excitement. Dauntless are so fearless.
It's not really capturing excitement. I think it captures intensity.
Intensity.
Or, what's it called when it builds? The climax. But yeah, it's pretty cool.
I like it. It's a cool song.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard it before.
Ronker has this whole playlist of different songs that apply to different scenes and different chapters, and that's what she said this one kind of applied to the whole book for her. And we'll go through those, maybe not every podcast, but we will go through them in various episodes, and we'll talk about those then.
Okay. I guess book recommendations. So we figured that if we like to read, and you like to read, then we should tell you what we've read, and you can tell us what you've read, even though we probably won't hear you say it out loud.
You can email us in.
Okay, so my book recommendation. I read The Maze Runner last year by James Dashner, and I'm only recommending it not only because it's a good book, but because the movie comes out soon. Mm-hmm. Dylan O'Brien plays the main star, and if you've seen Teen Wolf, because I have, and I love Teen Wolf.
Wait, hold on. Which one is he?
He plays
the friend. Isn't his name like Styles or Stiles?
Yeah, Styles.
I love him, and he's a fan favorite. A lot of people are in love with him.
I was, like, in love with him.
A lot of people love him. Like, he's really funny and stuff.
Because I didn't watch season 3, but I watched season 1 and 2. And, like, he was my favorite. I loved him. And so he plays the star of Maze Runner's books. And there's 4 Maze Runner books. There's 3 books and a prequel. And I haven't read the prequel yet, but I own it. I'm just waiting to read it.
How far have you gotten in the books?
I read them all.
3?
Yeah, I read them.
And not the prequel.
But not the prequel.
So what is Maze Runner about?
Okay. So Maze Runner is about, it kind of starts off with this boy, and he wakes up in, a maze. Well, he wakes up in an elevator, but, like, not a real elevator. Like, one of those old trashy-looking ones that, like, metal around it. It doesn't even matter. You, like, don't know that he wakes up in an elevator either. You just know that he wakes up in, like, this dark place, and these boys lift him up out of there, and he, like, lands in the middle of this field thing surrounded by huge metal walls, and there's, like, it's all boys there. He figures out eventually, like, he's in a maze.
Like the Lost Boys.
Yes, it's exactly like the Lost Boys. That's what I kept on thinking when I was in there.
Okay.
When I was reading it. Not in there, sorry.
Sure, you went to the maze, people. That's,
I mean, like, I lived it.
That's the key of the book. It's like Jumanji comes to life around you.
Every day, he becomes a maze runner, which is, like, one of those higher wanted jobs. People, like, want to run the maze.
So there's, like, a little town inside the maze.
Yeah, because it's just them. It's just, like, all these boys living in this maze, and it's all they know how to do. So they're, like, farmers. And, like, he has to do, like, a couple of jobs, and then he gets to maze run. And, like, they figure out he's really good at it.
Is he, like, is that, like, a delivery or messenger boy kind of thing? Like, you run messages or deliveries to people?
No. No. You run the maze. They're in, like, the center metal room, and the doors open up every day. And they get to go run this maze looking for a way out.
Okay, so it's their way of being able to explore the maze.
And they have to get back inside.
Before the doors close.
Before the doors close, because doors close at night. So, like,
oh, that's cool.
I don't want to ruin anything.
No, but that sounds really interesting. Now I kind of want to go read it, because I haven't read it yet, and nobody like, tell me about it.
What if, like, what would happen if he got locked out of the doors?
No!
So that's what the first book's about. It's really intense. I'd say it is, because they're all men, it's like kind of a manly book.
It's a great intro, because that got me excited. It'll probably get other people excited.
Yeah, too. It's good. It's very, not action-packed, but action-packed. I mean, like, it's not like a super on-the-edge-of-your-seat
book. Is it, like, action-packed, or is it, like, adventurous?
Adventurous. That's more of the word. Because it's like adventurous.
Dystopian genre.
Of course. That's like my genre. I know a lot of people are sick of it, but well, I love it. I love the what if, like, what happens if the future is all like this and messed up and, like, a dictator overruled and messed up our government and, I don't know, it just reminds me that, like, yeah, things are bad right now, but geez, look how much worse it could be. We could be living in a Hunger Games world, okay?
Oh my gosh, yes. Dystopians are great. I think I'm more of a fantasy favorite, but I do love dystopian.
Okay, so that's my book recommendation. Go read The Maze Runner by James Dashner.
Okay, mine is going to be the book Gone by Michael Grant. I have not finished it because somebody in the room doesn't want to get on board and finish the book with me.
I have been really busy with Gishwiz.
I know. It's been a busy summer for both of us with school and friends moving and Gishwiz and
Road trips
and work and everything, so I'm not going to hold you against it. But, oh my goodness, Cherie, I'm trying so hard not to go ahead and just finish the book without you.
Well, I appreciate you for waiting.
Gone by Michael Grant is also, I think, a dystopian book. I'm going to go ahead and say it's dystopian.
I don't know what it is so far. I cannot tell
that's
you.
That's the thing, we don't
really know. It's a mystery.
It's kind of a mystery genre. It could be sci-fi, it could be dystopian, it could be sort of paranormal or fantasy. You really don't know just yet.
In the inside little cover where it says what genres it goes under, it says supernatural I still don't know how it's under supernatural category.
Aliens! Or...
Aliens does not go under supernatural.
Aliens is my answer for everything. I think sci-fi's emerging in the genre world.
Hey, Stephanie, who built the,
I don't even know what you're talking about, and the listeners can't see your hand motions with that. So you know what did Jim say? I don't know.
Yes, Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
Hey, Stephanie.
She's trying. She's sitting in the chair.
I'm making Stonehenge with my hand.
He's trying to make placement stone in the visible air, not even drawing it out. Okay. Anyway, yes.
Hey, Stephanie. Who built Stonehenge?
God.
Aliens.
God made the aliens to build Stonehenge. I have no idea. That's my answer.
Hey, Stephanie. What is being held at Area 51?
I don't know. Aliens?
Okay, so maybe aliens is your answer for everything.
That was cute. That was a cute little trick. Fun right there. I like it. So, right, my book... These book recommendations take forever to get there. Yeah. So, basically, what happens is, these kids, are they in Florida or California? They're in Florida.
California.
They're in California? Alright, so they're in California. It opens up with these kids in a school. I think they're freshmen. And they're in school, and they're in class or whatever. And then, all of a sudden, their teacher just disappears. They realize that everybody who is 15 or older, so all of the upperclassmen, all of the teachers, all the parents, all the grandparents, janitors, everybody who was an adult 15 years or older has just vanished out of this town.
Didn't leave, like, clothes or anything behind?
No, no, that's the thing. They left with their clothes on.
That's why it's so peculiar, because, like, if they had died
or
anything...
Yeah, if they had disappeared out of thin air, their clothes would have been left there. Like, if the aliens had zapped them out...
It's aliens!
Then their clothes would have been left. Right, so all of the adults have disappeared. And basically, the book is sort of... Lord of the Flies kind of esque, where the kids are trying to make their own society with each other,
and it doesn't work. Kids are silly. Sometimes.
Kids are silly. Kids are brutal. They're just not intelligent. I mean, and these aren't even intelligent kids. They're 14 and younger, guys.
Hey, whoa! I was intelligent when I was 14.
Most of these kids aren't intelligent. They're 14 and younger. So, So our main character Sam is sort of like has natural leadership abilities. And he goes on this whole rampage where he doesn't want to take responsibility for anybody or anything, and he feels very lonely, and he just wants to find his mom, he just wants to help his friends, and he's very scared. He also is dealing with some internal conflict with himself for reasons I'm not going to say.
No, we have to say it.
No!
That's the hook that's going
to
get him
the
in.
The hook, guys, there's a hook, go read the book, that's the hooker. They need to go read the book so they can figure it out.
I'm going
to
say it. You guys, they have powers.
Oh my gosh.
I said it.
Not all of three. That's the big hooker. Okay, fine. The book does not have a hooker in it, but the point is being
that hook, line, and sinker.
Our main character, Sam, he has some type of special power, sort of X-Men meets more Lord of Flies. Anyway, so that's what the book is about. Right, okay, so we have the website up. I'm going to post, obviously, we have to post the podcast somewhere. So factionfandompodcast@gmail.com, factionfandom.com for the website, and we will tell you about the Tumblr. Check us out in 2 weeks.
For chapters 4-9.
4-9, right. And send us in your feedback.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, yep. Right, so I'm Stephanie.
And this is Sheree.
Bye.